The miracles of Elisha were more like the miracles of Christ than any other Old Testament prophet. I really feel that Elisha was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I would challenge you to study his life, study his ministry, study his personality, study his characteristics, study the ways in which he dealt with people and ministered to people, and you will see there that there are a lot of very clear parallels to the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's not just a coincidence. We think of Elijah, and the Spirit of God tells us in the book of Luke that Elijah would be a lot like John the Baptist in his ministry, and John the Baptist would minister in the power of Elijah. And then the one that came after John the Baptist, of course, was the Lord Jesus. And just as Elisha came after Elijah, so the Lord came after John the Baptist with a ministry a lot like unto that of Elisha. And here in 2 Kings chapter 4, in the first 7 verses, we have the story of a woman who had a pressing need. And one need just seemed to lead on to another, and it seems that this woman here was just a woman that was pressed on virtually every aspect of her life with need. And this needy woman and the story that follows demonstrates for us tonight the fact that our God can meet our need. No matter how meager our supplies might be. And maybe tonight you find yourself in this prayer meeting and you find yourself with a tremendous need. It might be a financial need, as it was for this woman. It might be a need within your home or in your family. It might be an emotional need. It might be a need that you just don't even want to express publicly, but the Lord knows that particular need is there in your life. And I want to tell you tonight that God can meet your need. And certainly as a church and as a people, we have many needs. And I believe that in this portion of Scripture, there are very clear principles laid down for us that will encourage us in the knowledge that the Lord God can and does meet the needs of his people. The Apostle Paul could say, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." And the young psalmist David could say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," or "I shall not lack any good thing." And there's many ways in which we could look at this portion of Scripture. There's a wonderful gospel application in it, but I want to apply it tonight to those of us who know and love the Lord and apply it to God's people. I want to take Elisha to be a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to look at this woman as being a representative of the church of Jesus Christ. We're thinking about her two sons as being maybe the young people that are brought up in her church, maybe her own children, her own families, her own loved ones. We're thinking about the vessels that she gathered from outside of her own house to represent individual believers within the church. We're thinking about the creditor that came as being our adversary, the devil. And we're thinking about the oil that she poured out of that little pot into the other vessels as being representative of the Holy Spirit. So tonight we're just very simply considering the woman or the widow and her pot of oil. Just a few very simple things that I'd like you to notice tonight. First of all, verse 1 and verse 2, the hardships that she faced. Here is a woman who finds herself in a great plight. This woman, we might sum her up as saying that she was bereaved, she was bankrupt, and she was burdened. And you'll notice there that the hardships that she faced concerned her finance. We're told in verse number 1 that her husband was dead. And evidently this man died as a relatively young man. And she comes to Elisha the prophet and she says, "Thy servant, my husband, is dead." This man was, I believe, studying for the ministry. You might recall that it tells us in the book of 2 Kings on another occasion that Elisha had a school for prophets. And there came a day whenever the place where they dwelled was too small for them, too straight for them, so they went somewhere else and they began to clear a great clearing in the forest. And that was essentially like an Old Testament Bible college. And Elisha had servants or sons in the faith, students that he was training up for the ministry. And this woman comes and she addresses Elisha and she says, "Thy servant, my husband, is dead." And so this man was one of the servants or students of the great prophet of God, Elisha. And he evidently died very suddenly, leaving this widow with her two sons who were growing up. We're not sure exactly what age they were, but we know that they were able to walk and they were able to help her to pour the oil out of the little pot into the other vessels, and they were able to help her to gather empty vessels from her neighbors. But as this man died, he left his widow and his children with a very large debt, a debt that they could not pay, a debt that she had no means and resources to being able to meet the need of that debt. Now, evidently her husband was a God-fearing man who loved the Lord. He had devoted his life to full-time service. And she can say out of a full heart to the prophet of God, Elisha, that thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And yet, he wasn't a wealthy man. He had debts to pay. And whenever he died, he left his wife with this burden, with this financial hardship, with this debt. And maybe tonight you look at your life, and maybe it's only known to you, but maybe there's hardships there in the financial level. And I don't believe that anybody outside of this home really knew just how much hardship this woman was facing. I believe the only person outside of her home that she disclosed this information to was Elisha the prophet. But the Lord knew about her financial hardships. And there's, you would know tonight, a gospel going about, the health and prosperity gospel, that if you're walking with the Lord and you're serving the Lord and you fear the Lord, you'll never suffer financial adversity. And you'll never struggle physically, and God will just bless you abundantly again and again and again, and it'll be all plain sailing. But that's not what I read in this old book. We read here about a woman and her husband who have given their lives to serving God and to spreading his word and to ministering to the needs of Elisha and to ministering to the needs of their nation. And this man dies, he's cut off in ministry, in service for God, and he leaves his wife with this financial burden. And maybe tonight as an individual you have burdens of a financial nature. And sometimes I think about the Church of Jesus Christ, I think about our denomination, I think about this fellowship, and sometimes I wonder, as we think maybe in the years to come, will where are the finances going to come from to sustain this church family and this church fellowship? And we can have financial concerns and financial burdens and financial hardships. And this godly woman, she faced hardships financially, but this also began to affect her family. She had hardships not only with her finance, but hardships with her family. You see, according to the law of the land, whenever a person had a debt that they couldn't pay, if they had children, the creditor could come and take those children as a security against the debts and maybe sell them as slaves, and they would serve there in the slave market, and they would literally work their fingers to the bone in order to pay off the debts that perhaps even their parents had incurred. And she knows that this creditor could come at any hour of any day. And maybe he's got a heart like an iceberg, and he doesn't care about her financial needs. All he cares about is getting his money back. He's maybe got a family to feed. He's maybe got a business to run, bills to pay himself. And she knows that soon the creditor's going to come, and he's going to come by force, and he's going to take her two sons, and they're going to be taken from her home as conscripts, and they're going to pay off the debt that her husband has left behind. What a burden. She's lost her husband, and she's also on the very brink of losing her own children. And so there's hardships financially, and there's also hardships in her families. And friends, tonight, some of us, some of you are facing real hardships in your family. And again, there's maybe nobody outside of the door of your home, save the Lord, that knows anything about it. You've maybe confided in just the ones or the twos, but generally speaking, unknown to other people in this prayer meeting, there's hardships in your family. And maybe like this woman, you've got children. Maybe you've got sons. Maybe you've got daughters. Maybe you've got one of each. And the adversary is tempting you to think that God doesn't care about them. And it seems like the creditor's at your door, and the adversary's there, and he's beating down your door to get at your family, and you're struggling, as it were, to hold on to them. And you know in your heart that unless God steps in, the adversary's going to come, and he's going to take your family, and he's going to bring them in to be slaves to serve him, to serve the flesh, and to serve the world, and to live without God and without grace. And you're thinking all the while, well, what if the adversary comes? And I look at their lives, and I can't save them, and I can't open their hearts. And this is a hardship, and there's things going on, preacher, tonight, in my home, and my family, and there's burdens, there's hardships there, and I just don't know how to cope with it anymore, financially, within the family, and maybe also this woman's faith was being shaken. How could God allow this to happen to us? My husband feared the Lord. He wanted to serve the Lord. He was a God-fearing man. He devoted his life to serving God. And then he was cut off in the prime of life. And I've been left with these two children. I can't provide for them. There's no food in the house. There's no savings account. And the creditor's going to come. And how could God allow all this to happen to me? And every day this woman's faith is being shaken, her faith is being sifted. And you know, tonight there's many that would have us to believe that if we honor God, we're exempt from hardships and exempt from troubles. Not so. Faith gets tested. Faith gets shaken. Faith gets battered and beaten and bruised and thrown about. And maybe tonight you can identify with much that this woman is facing, the hardships that she faced. And then in light of that, there's also the resources that she had. Elisha says unto her in verse number 2, well, what shall I do for thee? And often we see the Lord using those same words whenever people came to him with needs. And the Lord knew the need, but the Lord often asked, well, what shall I do for thee? And if the Lord was to come to you tonight, and I believe that he does, in a meeting like this, it's very true to say that the Lord is in the midst. And if the Lord bodily was to come to you tonight and ask you this question, what shall I do for thee? What's your pressing need? What's the burden of your heart tonight? I wonder tonight what you would say to him. What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thy house? In other words, he's saying to this woman, well, you know, there's things I could do for you, but first of all, answer this. What have you got in your house that you could use to meet your own need? And you'll notice that the resources that she had were very, very limited. Thy handmaid, and that's how we know that she was a believer as well. She's taking herself to be a servant of Elisha as well. Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Just a little pot. And there's a little bit of oil in it. And I've got this huge debt coupled with very slender resources. No savings to dip into. Just a pot of oil. Now, I believe tonight, friends, that this woman's needs represent our needs on a daily basis. Tonight, we've got needs. We've got needs in our homes. We've got needs with our young people. We've got needs with our children. Maybe tonight you've got needs in your marriage. Maybe needs in the workplace. We've certainly got great needs within the church. And we look at the tremendous needs that we have and the hardships that we face. And then we look at ourselves and we look at the means at our disposal. And they look so limited and they look so meager. And we think, well, I don't have much money. I don't have much support. I don't have much strength. I don't have much faith. I don't have much ability. I don't have much foresight. And I look at what I've got and it seems that I've got this debt and this need in one hand and I've got these resources in the other and there's no way that they can be coupled together and there's no way that my resources can meet the need. And that's exactly how this woman felt. All she had was a pot and a little bit of oil. And friends, tonight in the same sense, maybe that's all what we've got. Just a little pot. That represents this life. And a little bit of oil. And oil represents the Holy Ghost. We have got oil tonight. And you say tonight, well, that doesn't really encourage me all that much because the needs that I have are needs within my family. There's physical needs. There's material needs. And all I've got is a little bit of oil. Now we must understand this tonight that if we are saved and we're washed in the blood, all of us have got the Holy Ghost. The Bible says that our bodies are temples for the Holy Ghost which is in us. The scripture says, if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Now this little pot of oil that this woman had, it maybe didn't look like much to her. But really, this little pot of oil was not a little thing at all. It was everything. She'd get everything that she needed in that little pot of oil. And maybe tonight we look at ourselves and we look at our lives and we think, well, I know that the Lord's with me, but what about all these other things? Well, friends, tonight, if we've got God and we've got the Holy Ghost, and maybe it doesn't look like much, but little is much when God is in it. The Lord says, if your faith is even as a grain of a mustard seed, thou shalt say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea. Years ago, there was an old Scotch woman, and she was a believer, she was a Christian, but like this woman in this portion of scripture we've read together, her husband had died, and she only had a couple of sons, but one of them was away serving the government in India, whenever India was still part of the British Empire. And she went to her pastor one day and she just poured out her woes and her complaints and she spoke of her poverty and she tried to cover it up, she tried to hide it, but she was just at breaking point and so she came to the pastor and she just began to express the tremendous needs that she had. And the pastor says, do you mean to tell me that you've got no friends or no family members that can actually help you and support you? She says, well, I've got a son and he lives in India, far, far away. And does this son, does he never write to you? She says, well, yes, he writes to me and he sends letters and there's lovely pictures he sends along with them of different things. But I just got a little bit of pride that I can't humble myself to ask him and to send me something to meet my need. I don't want him to worry about me so far away in India. And I don't want to tell him about my poverty. And then the pastor says, well, these pictures that he sends you, could you show me them? And she went and she got her Bible. And she brought her Bible to the pastor. And the pastor took the Bible and he began to leaf through the Bible. And virtually between every page were banknotes and bank credits. Now this woman wasn't the wisest woman in the world. And she didn't realize that all she had to do was take those banknotes to the bank and cash them in. And she would get all the money that she needed to meet her needs. She thought that her son was just sending her pretty little pictures and bookmarks to keep in her Bible. And whenever the pastor opened the Bible, he says, Janet, you're richer than I am. Every one of these notes might have been turned into money and all your needs supplied. He says, you have got a wealth and you've got a fortune and you've got riches within the pages of your Bible. If only you'd realized it. And all these years, he says, you've been living in poverty. Whenever in your Bible, you've got the answer to all of your needs. And friends, tonight, it's true as the little chorus says it, every chapter in the book is mine. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And God tonight, friends, has given us promises and he's given us the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Spirit is the answer to all of the needs that the child of God has. The resources that she had, as she looked at them, they were meager, but under God they were mighty. Notice as well the prayer that she offered. Verse number 1, it says she cried unto Elisha. Now some people would say concerning this woman, well, the fact that her husband died and was cut off, and the fact that she was riddled with debt, and the fact that she was brokenhearted, and the fact that she was facing all these trials and troubles is evidence that she didn't really have very much faith, and there was something wrong with her walk with God. But I believe that this poor widow woman was full of faith, because she prayed and she obeyed. She went to the prophet. Now, in Old Testament times, people often went to the prophet because the prophet was the man of God that got direct revelations from God for the people. And whenever the prophet spoke, he spoke for the Lord. So essentially this woman is going to the prophet knowing that there's a sense in which he's a mediator between God and man. And she can come to this prophet knowing that if she seeks him, that he will give her a word from the Lord. Essentially what she's saying is, there's nobody now that I can go to outside of the Lord. And her seeking the prophet is indicative of the fact that she was seeking the Lord. It is so true that whenever we reach the end of ourselves, we reach the beginning of God. And this woman gives herself to prayer. Now, if this was Northern Ireland, this woman would probably have gone to the bank. She would have probably gone to the credit union. She would have probably maybe even gone to a loan shark or gone to one of these websites or advertisements that you see whenever you can borrow and there's a huge interest rate. And she would have maybe taken her chances and she would have paid it off as best she could, or maybe got herself into more debt than ever, or she'd have gone for government aid. But she went to God. And folks, tonight there are problems and hardships and trials that we face, and the only one that can meet the need is the Lord. And you'll notice it says that she cried unto the prophet. She cried. She wept. She was in bitterness of soul. She was broken. She was desperate. And a lot of us tonight have needs a lot like this woman. Some of us have good children, sons, daughters, and they're outside of Christ. Some of them are in trouble tonight. We maybe don't know that, but the creditor, the adversary is at the door, and he wants to get into our homes. And folks, we need to take stock of this tonight, and we need to be like this woman, and we need to get to the Lord, and we need to cry unto God for the needs that we have within our families. Then there was also the counsel that she received. Elisha stood as a prophet, the voice of God. Now tonight we don't have a flesh and blood prophet standing in our midst tonight, but we have a more sure word of prophecy. We have got the Bible itself. And the psalmist was able to say, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. So what do we do whenever we face hardships, trials, and our faith is tested, and we're tempted, and we're tried, and we're sifted, and we're shaken? The best thing for us to do is to get alone with God and to get the book out and to get down on our knees and just cry unto the Lord. And to pray and to listen. And the counsel that she received is very, very simple. Elisha says to her, well, go to your neighbors. Have you got neighbors? Yes, I've got neighbors. And do you know your neighbors? Yes, I do. Well, go to them. And borrow off them empty vessels. Don't borrow just a few, but get as many as you can into your house. And take that little pot of oil. And one by one, you just go to the first vessel and you pour out of that little pot. And you shut the door on the world. And you pour out of that little vessel. Now, there's certain principles here that we have whenever we face hardships, trials, adversity, difficulty as well. You'll notice that the vessels here had to be empty. And our vessels must be empty. The Bible in the New Testament often describes the believer's life, the believer's heart, the believer's soul, the believer's body as being a vessel. The Scripture says we ought to know how to possess our vessels. The Scripture says if we purge ourselves from the sins of the flesh, we shall be like vessels unto honor. But these vessels that she brought into your house, they had to be empty. And friends, tonight, God can never fill us unless, first of all, we're empty. As we were singing a little bit earlier, empty that thou shouldest fill me. And we must also be willing to be poured out. Notice that it says there at the end of verse number 5, she poured out. And the sense is there that she went on pouring out of her little vessel into these other empty vessels. And there was nothing in that little vessel of hers save the oil. And there was no obstruction and there was nothing to block the channel. And she was completely open to God and she was completely yielded and she was willing to be poured out. And if we want God to meet our needs, we have to be willing ourselves to be poured out. A lot of Christians are Dead Sea Christians. You know the Dead Sea, there's a lot of little tributaries and rivers that flow into it, but there's no outlet, there's no outflow, and that's why it's dead, and that's why it's stagnant, and that's why there's no life, because there's no outflow. And a Christian that never pours themselves out before God and pours their life into the lives of others, and a Christian that doesn't give out is a Christian that's dead, lifeless, and stagnant. The Lord Jesus Christ said, if any man thirst, and here's a woman that is thirsty, here's a woman that's hungry, here's a woman that's burdened, here's a woman that's coming before the Lord. And the Savior says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth in me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And that speaks of the Holy Spirit, it goes on to say. And the Lord is saying there that if we're really hungry for God, the Lord will so work in our lives, but there will be this continual pouring out. Oswald Chambers used to pray that prayer, Lord, make me to be as broken bread and as poured out wine. And it might seem strange to say it, but the more a child of God pours out their life before God, under God, to meet the needs of other believers who tonight perhaps are empty vessels, and maybe people that the Lord brings into your home and brings into your lives and brings into your family and brings into your pathway, it's our responsibility with the means that we have and the graces that we have to pour ourselves out and to pour our lives out into the lives of others. But Elisha said to this woman, before you begin to pour out, he says, shut the door. This is something that he says, I want you to do in the secret place. I don't want you to do this to be seen by other people. Just like whenever the Lord says, whenever you pray, he says, don't be like the hypocrites who stand on the street corners and love to be heard of men. The Lord says they have their reward. If they want to be seen of men, that's all they're going to get. That's all they're going to get. They're only going to be seen of men. But if you really want to pray and reap a reward and want to be blessed, enter into the closet and shut the door and pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth thee in secret shall reward thee openly. So this woman's coming here and she's emptying herself, she's pouring herself out, and she's doing it with the door in her home shut. and there's no glorying before the world. And you'll notice then the obedience that she exercised. This is the counsel that she received, and then the obedience that she exercised. Verse number 5, so she went from him. Now she has been in the place where the word of God has reached her, and then she leaves that place, and she purposes in her heart that as soon as she gets home again, she is going to put into practice what the prophet Elisha has said to her. Now, we can very easily content ourselves in knowing what to do. We know that we should be praying, and we kind of content ourselves in that. Well, God's there, and God will answer prayer. And yes, I know that the Spirit of God is with us, and I know that I could live a surrendered life. But we often procrastinate, don't we? We talk to the unsaved about getting saved now and getting right with God, and now is the accepted time. But very often as Christians, we do the same. And we think, you know, it's enough to have all this head knowledge, and maybe someday that'll hit the ground and it'll all just come together. But this woman went home with all of this knowledge of what the Word of God has told her to do. But she goes home with an obedient heart, and she's willing to pour out. And friends, tonight the challenge for us very simply is this: in a prayer meeting like this, or in our homes later on, whenever we go home, and we've got all of these needs, are we willing, really willing, to be emptied? Are we willing to be poured out? Are we willing to be completely yielded? Are we willing to be surrendered? Are we willing to be emptied? Are we willing just to give God everything that we have? That's the challenge. The obedience that she exercised. Now, we could speculate here as to what it was like for this woman to go around the homes and say to her sons, now, the prophet's given me a word. I've got a word from God. Here's what he wants us to do. We have to go out and bring empty vessels into your house. And she goes to her neighbor and she says to the neighbor, have you any old empty vessels, any old pots, jugs, cups, saucers, whatever it is? And maybe the neighbor says, well, what do you want them for? Maybe they didn't. I don't know if she had to explain herself here, but perhaps if she did, she would have looked very foolish in the eyes of the world. She could have very easily says, well, you know, I've got a little pot of oil, and the Lord has said that if I pour out this oil into all of these vessels, that God will fill them. And they said, do you mean to say that you're going to pour out of this little pot into this big pot, and there's going to be enough in that little pot to fill this big pot, and this one, and this one, and this one? How foolish it seemed, but she was willing to do it. The Apostle Paul said that he was willing to be counted a fool for Christ's sake. Now, whenever you come to surrender your life to the Lord, people say you're wasting your time. And you ask God to fill you with the Holy Ghost, people say you're wasting your time. And you give yourself to prayer. And how often are we tempted to think, even in the secret place, whenever we shut the door and we get alone with God, there's this little voice in the back of your mind somewhere, and it says, you're making a fool of yourself. You're making a fool of yourself. Sure, God knows your need. What are you praying about it for? Go and do something sensible. Go and do something practical. Just go and get on with it. But the fact of the matter is, this woman had reached the end of herself, and she couldn't just get on with it anymore. She had to pour herself out before the Lord. She was willing to be a fool for Christ. I wonder tonight, are we willing to go, as this woman did, and ask people? We could just turn it around now and look at it from a different angle. Here's a woman, and she's bringing empty vessels into her house. And here we are tonight, folks, in the house of the Lord. And we can all see that every Lord's Day, by Lord's Day, there's pews in our church that could be filled. And I'm sure most of us tonight would like to see them filled. But are we willing to go out to your neighbors, their loved ones, and the people in our locality, and just ask them, in all of their emptiness, would you come to the house of the Lord and pour our lives into their lives and pour ourselves out before them? Some Christians nail their colors to the mast and they say, this is what I'm going to be for God. Other Christians nail their colours to the mast and say, I just want to get to heaven. I just want to know that my sins are forgiven. I don't want to be in hell. I just want to get to heaven. And they nail their colours to the mast and they'll not be moved to go and ask somebody to come. I think we've become so logical and so clinical and so respectable. And sometimes our theology seems to say, well, you know, whatever will be, will be. But often we can be so disobedient in a respectable way whenever it comes to just doing the things that God asks us to do. Now, she was not one bit concerned about what size these vessels were, about what shape they were, about what color they were, so long as the vessels were there. Somebody once said, I think it was R.A. Torrey, that God does not demand a beautiful vessel, but he does demand a clean one. And these vessels had to be empty. Then lastly, there was the miracle that she experienced. Verse number 5, you see her obedience, and she came with her sons, and she bought the vessels, and she poured out. Verse 6, and it came to pass when the vessels were full. Now, I would just love to be able to picture this. A lot like whenever the Lord fed the 5,000. And he gave the bread to his disciples, and the fish to the disciples, and got this loaf, and they're breaking off big lumps of this loaf. And every time they look down, the loaf isn't getting any smaller. And the same with the fish. And as this woman takes this little pot of oil, it just seems that she pours and pours and pours, and it's not getting any lighter. And the oil, as it's being poured out, is being multiplied. You see, friends, it's only as we pour ourselves out that God can multiply that which we pour out at his feet. We want to see it all there first, don't we? We want to see this great big reservoir of everything that God is going to do for us, rather than just going in faith and pouring out the little bit that we do have. And like Moses, we want to see the whole sea parting before us before we step forward. We want to see how it's all going to work out. Is this the right thing to do? What am I going to pour this out? And sure, there's only about half a pint in this little pot, and I'm going to pour it into this 50-gallon drum. It's not going to work. But she wasn't thinking with her mind so much. She was now thinking with her heart. And she kept pouring out. And the oil kept coming. And her sons with her, they're witnessing a miracle. And friends, it's as we pour out that the Lord continues to pour in. As we pour out, the Lord continues to pour in. And then whenever all of the vessels were filled, that's whenever she stops. And says there in verse number 6, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. She stopped pouring out before God stopped pouring in. Who knows, but if she could have got more vessels from other places, God would have continued to perform the miracle. And friends, it's whenever we stop pouring out, it's whenever we stop pouring out our hearts, and it's whenever we stop giving out of our lives and surrendering our lives and seeking to meet the needs of others, whenever we stop pouring out, I believe that's whenever God stops pouring in. If we stop pouring out, God stops pouring in. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, verse 7, go, sell the oil, pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. You see, this oil that she had was convertible into everything that she needed. If she needed food for a table, that oil could be converted into food. If she needed shoes for the children, that oil could be converted into shoes for the children. That oil was convertible into everything that she needed. And so in a spiritual sense, the Holy Spirit is convertible into everything that we need for the Christian life. Do you remember the old hymn that William Booth said? Thou Christ of burning, cleansing flame, send the fire, send the fire. One of the verses says, 'Tis fire we want, for fire we plead, send the fire, send the fire. The fire will meet our every need. Send the fire, send the fire. Now tonight we need help in prayer. The Spirit of God can help with that. We need help to witness for the Lord. The Holy Spirit can help us with that. We need grace to face our trials. The Holy Spirit can help us with that. We need at times to be comforted. The Holy Spirit can do that. Everything that we need to learn more about the Lord. We need grace. We need help. We need guidance. We need wisdom. And we need knowledge. The Holy Spirit can help us with all these things. Now, this woman's name is not given. But perhaps tonight you could put your name in there. You say, well, that's just me. I'm facing trials tonight. I'm facing hardships. How do I deal with it? By pouring ourselves out before Him. As the psalmist said, pour out your hearts before Him. And as we pour our lives out, God pours His grace in. And God meets our needs. We trust that the Lord will just write His word tonight upon our hearts. Now, brethren, we'll get down to a season of prayer tonight. And do remember those people that we prayed for. But let's just take the place tonight that this widow woman took and come before the Lord and